Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Upcycle Canada podcast. So happy to have you back. We have John from Harmsons Hockey here with us on the podcast today. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very excited to have you on. As a true Canadian, excited about hockey and excited to know that there's somebody out there repurposing sticks, repurposing hockey equipment and giving it new life. I think we talked about in a chat earlier, if you could take hockey sticks and stick them in the ground and leave them for years and years and years, they're probably just going to stay there. They're not going to disintegrate.
Right? Yeah, most likely. Like, you can go look at anyone that's got tomato plants. They probably had the same hockey stick in the ground for the last 15 years. So,
yeah, they're not going to break down anytime soon. These aren't wood sticks here. No. These are so you have a business you've built as a side hustle.
Yes,
and it's using these sticks, coming up with creative ways to repurpose them. What was the original idea, and what was your first product?
The original idea is I had seen some other people kind of make similar items or other things out of hockey sticks. And me being a hockey nut, I went, well, I think I can do that and I could probably do it better. And so my whole goal was just to make a product that somebody like myself would just love to have and show off at home. And kind of started out slower, just it's like a little hobby idea, and then turned into this business that's growing as fast as I can possibly handle right now. but it's been good. My first product was like a wood paddle grill scraper. Mm-hmm. So instead of using like the metal grill brushes, which are, as you know, they could be a little bit dangerous if you let them get old and the little pieces fall off in your food. So I started using a wood one myself. And then I was like, well, I can make this like a hockey stick one. So I did that in a bottle opener. And then from there, I've moved on to full barbecue sets and snow brushes.
That's great.
And then on the side, I've made like garbage cans and Muskoka chairs and the backing for my dartboard and coat hooks and stuff like that just for my house. But my main products are barbecue related, and then the snow brush, because in Canada, it snows a lot.
Yes. So was there a reason why you went with hockey sticks right off the bat?
Just my love for hockey. Since a little kid, I started playing hockey like 3 years old. And then I worked at a sports store for years before college and during college. And then, you know, played, refereed, coached. Like, my whole life has been revolved around hockey. So the hockey sticks just seemed like a natural source of business for me. And I had a big collection of broken sticks because I always collected like unique or like pro sticks or somebody you might recognize. So I had a big collection of that, and it got to the point that I had so many, I looked at my wife, I was like, I should probably do something with these because they're filling up the basement and there's nothing that I'm doing with them right now. So
to clarify, John, did you say to her that you should do something, or did she say something?
No,
to you,
it got
you
to the
should
point,
do something.
It got to the point that I said, like, I should probably do something with these. But in all honesty, I probably would have been told to do something
get rid
of them otherwise. So I just tried to beat her to it.
You're proactive. I like that. That's very good. Well done. Because we all know that's coming. I've had that conversation already. I have stuff that you can't see over there off camera that I haven't dealt with yet. And I'm reminded of it quite often. So yes, so that's good.
Amazing. like the sight lines behind me right here is probably the only spot in my basement that isn't all hockey sticks right now. So
I love that when you do those nice shots on Instagram and stuff, and everybody's like, oh, it looks so beautiful there. You guys are so organized.
Yeah.
You're like, you can't see.
You have no idea.
You can't see what's over there.
Yeah. Thank God.
I'm going to show you the good stuff.
Yeah. The camera lens is only this big, right?
Yeah. It's smart. It's smart. So you're doing everything from your home.
Yes.
Okay. And in the basement, is that where your workshop is?
Never yeah. So I've got a workshop in the garage and a workshop in the basement, because in the winter, the garage is no fun.
Yeah.
So I've turned my entire cold room into like a storage / work area. And then I've got everywhere else around my basement is quasi storage and workspace as well.
That's so great.
Yeah, just try to use every inch you can. Luckily we've got a big enough house that the basement's not finished, so yeah, might as well use it.
Excellent. So where are you getting your sticks from?
Everywhere from, I try to keep them to like pro sticks. So we're talking like the OHL, East Coast Hockey League, AHL, NHL, a lot of NCAA, teams like that. So I have a few good sources that they buy a lot of stuff from teams, so I piggyback on them, and then I've got some sources myself. So it's just a way to recycle the sticks and gives the team some money back to their budget for, you know, taking something that is no longer useful to them, but giving them a couple bucks, and
that's a great thing,
a chance
to do
for the stick to have another life.
Is there any sticks that have come across your path and you're like, there's a story behind the stick, or it's from a certain player and you're like, I can't chop this up?
No.
Okay.
So like if somebody sent me like a Wayne Gretzky aluminum stick, I would probably send it back to them and be like, no, I'm not doing this. But like I've done like a bunch of like Austin Matthews sticks. I've done a Connor McDavid stick, but they're broken. I have a big collection, like a personal collection of like good hockey sticks. Like I respect the product, and I don't like to cut up anything that is still useful for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the collector world for hockey sticks is crazy right now.
Yeah.
But no, like if a customer brought something to me and said, hey, like I got somebody handed this to me after the game and I'd like you to turn it into something, I'm not going to say no. I might try to talk them out of it if it's a $3,000 hockey stick though.
Yeah. It's amazing. And so, these sticks are expensive, right?
So so like the sticks that I use, if you were to walk into Sport Check or Pro Hockey Life or a Source for Sports or whatever, they range from like $300 to $360 now.
Wow.
The pros probably pay a little bit less for them, but yeah. So that's what a high end hockey stick costs these days. And it's astronomical. And players will go through dozens in a season.
Yeah.
So think about the hockey budget is these days.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. One thing somebody had asked us about doing, and actually that reminded me to use a hockey stick to either some kind of driftwood or some sort of piece, like a hockey stick would be perfect. And and they wanted either twine or something to hang family photos down
right
from, and to use the same, so like you wouldn't need to ruin or do anything to ruin the stick, but you could utilize it as a wall hanging for your family photos maybe of your hockey life with your kids and all that stuff. So I think that'd be kind of a neat
awards or something.
Yeah. Awards or whatever. Yeah. To hang stuff right from it.
So, I've seen stuff like that. I've seen people make picture frames out of the sticks. Yeah. I said like a coat hooks, like, you know, you take like a piece of stick, you put some hooks on it. I've seen all that kind of stuff. So yeah, the opportunities are endless as long as whoever you're living with doesn't mind seeing hockey sticks all over their house.
So you're saying it's okay if I start this hobby?
Yeah, then? Why not?
I have the boss right here, so yeah. I got John's permission.
She said it was a good idea.
So. Yeah, she said it was fine. Yeah, it's on the podcast. What are you going to do, right? I bet you get people coming to you offering ideas and suggestions all the time. Are you trying to limit your assortment of what you make to certain things?
Yeah, since I'm essentially a one-man show with a little bit of help from friends and family here and there, like when things are really busy, I try to focus on keeping the product variety kind of low so that I maintain the quality and the professional image I'm trying to portray with the stuff. Like my whole goal is that anybody that gets it never goes, oh, like this isn't as nice as I was expecting.
Okay.
And the bigger I get and the more products I offer, then you're risking me not doing it myself anymore. And if I got to hire somebody to do it, then it kind of takes that personal touch away.
Starts to water it down a little bit, right?
Like I'm definitely getting to the point that like I might need a little bit of help, but I try to keep it a little small. And the other problem is The sticks aren't that hard to get now that COVID's kind of done. Like people are breaking hockey sticks again, but to source a new idea, like it's like a whole year process of going back and forth with design, or it's like the idea phase and the designs and the lead times. And you go to any factory and you ask them for 300, they just laugh at you. We're talking thousands to get them to even consider taking your order. So,
yeah.
You know, to get like the, my barbecue sets, I had to order 3,000 barbecue sets and 3,000 bottle openers. So, and that was considered like, oh, okay, we'll kind of do it. Like they didn't really want to at that number.
Yeah.
And as you know, somebody just doing it out of your pocket in your basement, it gets a little tough, but you know, the 1 year I've been doing it now has shown that it was worth doing. So, you know, risk reward, I guess.
Yeah.
You've made some of that money back then, obviously.
Yeah. No, I think we're doing okay now. But when that first, you know, tens of thousands of dollars goes out the door and you're like, oh boy,
what did I get myself into? Right.
Yeah. And then COVID hit, like you guys said, like COVID hit. So it took me like over a year from originally hiring the person to source it for me to getting it. And then shipping went through the roof and all the joys that everyone's been dealing with. I know exactly how they feel.
Yeah. So how long have you been in business then, John?
2018, I started with just the wood scrapers and the bottle openers. And that was just very small. Like I was ordering a couple hundred at a time, seeing what I could sell, mostly Christmas orders, things like that. And then, I guess the end of 2020 into 21 is when I really started to get bigger.
So. Excellent. And you're selling most of your products through your website then?
Yeah, online is my main source. And actually, like, I don't know if you guys use it or not, but like Etsy has been massive for me.
Good.
Nice. Like massive. But I guess that's where people go to find unique, somewhat handmade items, right?
Yes.
But yeah, like I would say Etsy is 50%, if not more, of my sales.
Really? That's great to hear. Yeah.
Which is nice. And then I guess maybe they can see that I have a website and I look legit. I'm not just shipping somebody else's item, right?
So before COVID, did you do any kind of vendor events at all?
No, I hadn't got to that point yet. Okay. I was just doing Instagram and my website. I was just trying to build the brand at that
point. Yeah, because we have Etsy site as well. We sold a couple of things. It hasn't been as good for us, but at the same time, we haven't put as much effort into it as we probably should. But we've actually connected with Etsy sellers in our community and they do an Etsy only event for Etsy sellers. And you have to have an active Etsy account to even come to the show. So that if we get to that point and we can have shows again, that might be an interesting thing because you'll meet other Etsy dealers and makers as well as yourself. Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like I think this winter, like Christmas season, I guess in November is the first vendor thing I had actually done that was scaled to like bringing vendors in, and it was crazy busy. Like it was awesome. But I think, you know, people are so excited to get out and COVID has really changed people's like outlook. Everyone's kind of looking for unique and homemade, not expensive and flashy from a big store. So that's what I found anyways.
Yeah. People are starting to think more and put more thought into shopping local and supporting local makers.
Yeah.
You know, when you have ships of products stuck out in the ocean, they can't get in and stuff. And people are like, I just need to buy something for my family. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to offer that.
Yeah.
And meet that need. Right. So pretty amazing.
Yeah. I know you have like a small line, like you were saying, of products you do make. Have you had specific custom orders on top of that? That's something a bit more unique that you've done maybe one.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of still along my product line, but I'll have people that finish playing hockey, say at a college in the States or are currently playing, and they'll send me one of their sticks or a couple of their sticks, either to make items for themselves, or a lot of the time it's for like their dad for Father's Day or Christmas. So like I've taken somebody's like personal item and turned it into something for them to give, which is cool.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you finish playing hockey after 4 years at, you know, whatever university, you know, your parents only want so many of your sticks just sitting in the basement, but all of a sudden now they get to use it as a barbecue set, or you know, you make something out of it for them. It's kind of a unique memento. And then in terms of like full custom orders, I think, what have I done? Like I said, I made a garbage can which is pretty cool. Took a lot of hockey sticks though, so I haven't made too many of those. Muskoka chairs I've done. It's not something that I don't go out of my way to do it, because with COVID, sticks were in short supply and it takes way too many. What else have I done? I made like a snow pusher. So you know how like you go to like a dealership and it's not like a brush, but it's like that big paddle pusher that pushes the snow off. I've done that. I made a broom handle for somebody, just things like that. But you know, shipping an entire length broom is just not logistical for me at this point. So, or like fire pokers I've done, like, you know, you just put a piece of metal in the end of a hockey stick. So people can poke the fire up at the campsite or whatever.
That's really cool. Nice. They're unique items, right? You're not going to find this at your big box store.
You could do like the thing for the marshmallows.
I actually did. I made like a whole run of samples. I just wasn't happy with the product quality. I found the, cause I tried to do like the retractable ones. You could like throw them in your bag camping or whatever. But I found that, just the parts that I had were falling apart too easy. So it wasn't something I was willing to put out into the consumer base yet, but that's probably my next product. Cause that's the most request I get by far is the marshmallow roasters.
Yeah. That'd be a great idea. Cool. Yeah.
Put your hot dogs or whatever.
One of them is down here somewhere. I just don't remember where I put it. But yeah.
Neat.
So, John, I guess the other thing we want to kind of talk about, we have a second podcast besides the Upcycle Canada podcast. We have a podcast called Living My Side Hustle. And that's exactly what you're doing.
Right. Yep.
We've talked before. You've got a great career. You're loving your job, but this is something you're doing on the side. So there's an interesting point in having a side hustle where it's the honeymoon stage, where it's everything's new and it's exciting and you make a couple things and you sell them to your friends and family, but then it starts to take off.
Yeah.
And like a runaway train with no brakes, here you go, John, you got a business now and you have a career, and now what's going to happen? Like, how do you maintain, and maybe I should ask your family this, but how do you maintain a balance and keep everything kind of just flowing along? What's your secret?
My wife always says that I hate sleep. So like even before this, like I was typically like a 4 to 6 hour kind of sleep person. So, you know, working a 10-hour day, coming home, put the kids to bed after dinner, and then come down to the basement and work for 3-4 hours. I don't know, just a good use of my time. I could just be sitting on the couch or I could be doing this. So, it's a grind, but I love doing it. So, you know, you might have some days you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. But then you get that one customer feedback that, you know, they says they love it, or they reach out asking for something specific, and you talk to them back and forth a couple times and then send them something, and it's, you know, they tell you how much they love it. It's like, it's all worth it. So I just, it's just a grind. Just keep going. You know, sleep's overrated. So I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah. Nobody's going to pay you to sleep, right?
No one. Yeah. That's basically my secret, is this: use every minute the best that you possibly can. You know, if you're sitting there waiting for something to cook, well, you know, update your Instagram post. If you got a couple hours at night between going to bed and when the kids went to bed, instead of just sitting down watching the Leaf game, I come down here and I untape hockey sticks while watching the Leaf game. You know, stuff like that. Just try to multitask and double dip as much as you can.
So, John, do you get more excited about a goal watching hockey or a broken stick during gameplay?
It depends.
Okay.
If I was at the game and somehow could get my hands on that broken stick, I think that would definitely be it. But I always thought that'd be, if I ever got to the point of needing a commercial, it just like show me sitting on a couch and then like on TV, a stick would break and just show me running through the town trying to go get it.
John to the rescue.
Yeah.
We'll take care of that stick. Don't throw that away. Tell John.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing. Funny. That's hilarious. Yeah, because I would probably be, if I was in your shoes, I'd be watching for that broken stick. Going, come on. Yeah. Let's break another stick.
As long as it's the other team, like if our team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's
true. If your stick breaks while trying to score, it's not so good.
Have you met any great players or anything through your dealings with the sticks and stuff?
Not so much doing this, but like just through like life. Yeah. Like I've met lots of hockey players. I know, you know, my age group is kind of the, the tail end of the NHL right now. So I know some guys that have been through the pro ranks, and my dad grew up with Wayne Gretzky. So met him a couple times.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like just, you know, you're in the Hockey Hall of Fame at an induction and stops to talk to your dad and you're just standing there as like a 10-year-old kid. You're like, holy smokes.
Oh yeah. This is Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like I've got a picture on my wall that like he took right off the wall at Gretzky's restaurant and like gave to me. And
nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Somewhere out there, there's like an old newspaper clipping of like him holding my older sister. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Stuff like that's pretty cool. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to think on the spot, like who all you've met, but through the hockey world, I've met a lot of interesting people. That's for sure.
So, okay. So who's your team? First of all,
I got to go with the Leafs, even though they disappoint me every single year.
Okay. So I have to tell you something we have at our store. Her name is Paige.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she is a diehard Montreal fan.
Okay.
And so now we're going to be in big trouble with this podcast because she's going to now read us the riot act.
Yeah.
about this. So do you have any words of wisdom that we can share for Paige about her Montreal team to encourage her and her times of defeat from your perspective?
Just keep your head up because the talent pool there is pretty strong. They just need a few years to develop. Okay. You know, they got to get rid of some old contracts and they'll be fine because they got, you know, Cole Caulfield, Suzuki. Carey Price will probably come back next year better than ever because he tends to do that. So
if we're going into the NHL playoff finals and it's Montreal and Toronto, we have Paige and we have John. Where am I putting my money, John? You got to be honest with me and tell me where I'm putting my money.
As of right now, I'd be putting on the Leafs because Montreal's second last in the NHL, I think.
Okay. Oh, wow.
They won't be in the playoffs. So in the next couple of years, you could probably put your money on Toronto. But yeah. I try not to bet on or against Toronto because I lose either way.
Okay. Well, that's going to sting for Paige a little bit, but the truth does hurt sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. It does. So, yeah.
That's going to rip the Band-Aid off sometimes.
Oh, wow. We're going to be in big trouble with Paige. Yeah. So John, okay. So you have your small business, your side hustle, you're working it away. It's growing. Things are going well. You're getting good reviews. You're loving it. Where are you going with this? Like, what does the future look like for you and for your business?
Kind of hope that one day either I can do it full time or hand it off to the kids to do, you know, make it something that's sustainable to be, you know, maybe not even, I don't know if I could get it to be like full-time to match what I do outside of this, but if you could get it to the point that, you know, you could have an employee or two and, you know, give them some employment and maintain the same quality and everything, I think that'd be my goal. Like, you know, 10 years, kind of see where we're at. I know it sounds like a long time, but you know, you don't really know what you have until you really got it like humming along. So, you know, on the side hustle thing. So we've got Harmson's Hockey going on, my full-time job. And then me and my wife are also planting a Christmas tree farm this spring. So, you know, as you said, who needs sleep, right? We have to start farming on the side too.
Well, you got a few extra minutes between jobs.
So yeah. I figure Christmas trees are only like 3 times a year, planting, cutting, selling. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow. I think I found my new inspiration in life right here. You don't have a lot of downtime, John.
No, but the hope would be, you know, 10, 15 years, maybe I could do this in the trees solely, but we'll wait and see.
Excellent. Yeah. So for you, building a community around your small business, your side hustle, what's worked for you? What hasn't worked for you, like on social media? Is there one that's better for you and not so good? What do you like?
To be honest, like social media is like a love-hate relationship for me. I really don't like social media. I think there's just too much on there.
Yeah.
And like, I basically don't use my personal one anymore. And I try to stay away from anything political, anything like that. Yeah. I just pump out my stuff and I just try to follow anything hockey related in case there's something you want to share or that might help. I follow other creators of various things, you know, you guys like Upcycle and just ideas like that. And so I think it's worked, but it also hasn't worked. Cause like, if you don't post for a couple of days, next thing you know, if you're one of 3,000 things that people follow, they won't see you anymore.
Yeah.
So like social media really, really works, or like Instagram really works if you're on top of it and have almost like a posting calendar and you're like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
But if you miss a couple of days in a row, you go back to square one and the algorithm basically forgets about you until you build yourself back up again. So I find it's really tough because I don't like flooding people. I'm not that kind of in your face person. Like even people when they ask like, oh, hey, do you have something? It's like, yeah, I do. I don't like to go bug them to get them to make sure they buy it. Like, hey, come to me if you want it. Like, I'm not going to chase. I don't try to chase people. And as you know, I don't really have time to chase people anyways, So I'd say social media is like the biggest has and hasn't worked at the same time. Like I said, when it's going well, it works really well. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not doing it for a couple of days and you post something that you think is great and you get, you know, 30 likes and you're like, oh, I guess I missed the time zone on that one or whatever. So it's a tough battle, but you can't be a small business without it anymore. So
yeah, social media almost feels like a second job, a second side hustle, right? You make the product and then you have to go promote the product. You have to do both.
Yeah. You can see why major companies have like an entire division strictly for, and it's not just advertising anymore. Like their advertising budget probably got cut in half and sent over to social media. And I would say like the other thing is that hasn't worked well is trying to develop a product too fast. Like I said, like the marshmallow / hot dog roasters, I tried to kind of like half-ass it and that didn't work out. And it didn't live up to the quality standards I wanted. So
yeah,
take it slow, grow it properly instead of just trying to jump to the next step. That's what I find anyways.
It's amazing.
Having a good quality right off the bat. So you have your standards set high already and people would expect that then too, which is good. So if you critique your own thing, I know even for what we do, there's a certain standard. We both will critique each other's. It's like, oh, I didn't see that. You know, you missed something. And it's nice to have other people kind of look at your stuff before you say, yes, this is good. Or
For sure.
You never know whose hands that's going to end up in. And
well, that's just it. Yeah, you never know, because it could be the right person gets a hold of it, you know, somebody that's looking to grow it. So you just never know. You want to maintain that quality aspect and that personal touch to make sure that everything looks good every time, because you just never know.
Yeah.
And, you know, word of mouth is the best thing for a small business, like better than social media, everything. Like,
it is.
Somebody buys and hands it off to somebody and they go, wow, I really like this. I'm going to get this the next time I need a gift for somebody.
Yeah.
So
it's what happens when you're not in the room, right? And the comments about you when you're not there. As much as social media is important, that word of mouth marketing is great.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's coming from a trusted source. Just like if I said to you, John, you should see this show on Netflix. I really like it. I think you'd like it. I think you'd like this show. You're more likely to listen to it or watch it because it came from somebody that you trust than a commercial.
Absolutely.
So when you get on Instagram and you're like, hey, this is John. Here's my new product. It's coming from you directly. People are more likely to buy into it, right? So that's good.
Cool.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So you have no shortage of sticks.
Mm-hmm. Not right now.
No. So somebody listens to this podcast and they're like, I've got a barn, John, and it's got like 10,000 sticks. Are you interested? Can people reach out to you if they have sticks they want to donate or what?
My answer, if you had a barn of 10,000 sticks, probably when can I come?
Okay. See, there you go. Okay, good.
Yeah. Can I set up shop in your barn?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I might have to bring my saw to fit it all into the truck.
Can I bring my bed? Cause my wife's not going to let me come home.
I'm willing to take in sticks. Like I said, I only use certain ones, but I also know other people and I will take in everything and then I will find somebody else to use the ones that I won't. There's lots of people out there looking to do, you know, personal little things here and there. So I get reached out to a lot. So I try to keep a bin or two of things that I personally won't use because it's not, you know, that elite level pro style stick, but it still has lots of use. So I generally pass them along to somebody else. So I try to take everything because, you know, what's the point of being a hockey stick recycling business if you only take some?
True. So
now you're not recycling. You're just being selective.
So John, you're borderline getting into a problem there when you say you'll take them all, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
We had a guy post an ad We posted an ad saying we wanted some hockey sticks because we made like a little six pack holder with opener, and then the handle was a hockey stick, right? So I just needed a few. So I posted on an online site like a GG. Mm-hmm. Guy says, "Yeah, I got some sticks." So I show up with my van. 250 sticks later, I don't know if this guy had a hoarding problem, but my van was full of these sticks. I still have them. I'm picking away at them here and there, but oh my gosh, awesome. Like you don't expect it, right? So we just never know when this podcast comes out, who might hear this and maybe going to your website and saying, "Hey, John, question." So that's always good.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, did that Christmas market. And some people ask me, they're like, "Oh, do you take sticks? Do you take sticks?" It's like, yeah, like whatever you got. And to be honest, like I'm good with the people. Like if they bring me stuff and it actually has value, like I will buy it from them. I don't just take it. Like, so if they brought me stuff and they had some items I was interested in, it, like I have no problem giving them some cash for it. Cause you know, again, I'm making money on it. So I don't want to just hose somebody because they didn't know what they had. Like it's not, I don't know. That's just not good.
That shows business integrity.
Not good business or karma to me. Like I'd rather be like, "Hey, yeah, this, most of the stuff I'm just going to move on to somebody else, but these three right here, you know, I'll give you like $40 for those three," kind of thing, because I'm going to use them or whatever.
Nice. And that's kind of shock and awe for some people who have no idea what they have.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. Like, you get a lot of that on like Facebook Marketplace and Kijiji. You know, I just kind of scour on there because people have old stuff sitting on there all the time. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So John, before we close off, any tips for somebody starting a side hustle?
Just if it's something that you like love and something that you think can work, don't really let other people tell you it can't. Give it a go. Cause start it as soon as you can. Cause you know, my dad told me a good quote one time. He said, "If you wait for the right time, you'll never do it." So if it's something that you think you can do and, you know, just try. Like, why not? I just tried and it's turned into something a lot bigger than I expected it was going to be. So I went from trying to get rid of some of the stuff in my basement to operating a full scale business out of it. So yeah, it's totally worth it. You know, do your research, use the right programs, like make sure your accounting's in line. You know, have a paper calendar or a whiteboard where you can write things down because you're not always going to remember.
Yeah.
Just little things, but yeah, do your research. Make sure you got the right programs in place because you don't want to try to catch up later when you've already created a world that you're so used to using. And then, you know, tax time comes around and you're going, how do I calculate all this on Excel?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. I like to do it right. I like to make sure I'm, no, like I said, did the research. Good. But I'm also the kind of guy that's like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of impulsive that way. So, you know, just give it a go.
That's good. Perfect. And for those days when a global pandemic comes in and knocks you off your pedestal, any suggestions on just how to deal with the bumps in small business?
Yeah, you're going to have them no matter what, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's you know, anything could happen. All of a sudden there could be a stick shortage. Somebody else could pop up doing what I'm doing and pay more for the hockey sticks. And next, you know, I don't have any, right? So you just kind of keep your head up, keep grinding. And, you know, there's some things that you can't control. So don't sweat it, you know, focus on the things you can control. And if it's something that you can't, try to let it go. Cause if you try to control everything, it's just going to eat you up.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So John, so how can people connect with you? What's the best way to get in touch with John?
So my website is harmsenshockey.ca. So www.harmsenshockey.ca. Or we're on Facebook and Instagram at harmsenshockey.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, John. I know you've had a long day already. I don't know if you've had supper yet.
I did. Yeah. I jumped in for food. I got... And now I'll probably be up till 1 or 2 getting ready for this trade show. Cause I got my flight on Thursday, but I got to go to work tomorrow. So
we need to back out of this podcast and get you to work. So maybe get an hour of sleep tonight.
This is a break.
Yeah.
This is okay.
Does the boss know you're on break right now?
Yeah. She's at work right now. Oh, okay, she's a nurse. So she's working nights tonight.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's great. John, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And we're following your stuff. with great interest. We're big fans. We need to get some of your stuff in our home. So we're going to be reaching out. Okay.
Okay, cool.
Sounds good. So, maybe get in the store.
Excellent. Yeah, we'd love to have your stuff in our store. That'd be a great thing to have.
Definitely.
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Okay.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life. Dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aw, it's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.